teasing his readers, like a fan dancer, offering tantalizing glimpses, but never a clear view of the figure beneath. To write the life of a writer who is still alive and writing is a sensitive task. Readers have a right to know what they are reading, and readers of a biography of a living person are bound to be curious about the conditions under which it has been written. It seems appropriate, therefore, to provide a brief history of this book. After finishing my biography of Hugh Trevor Roper in 2010, I had lunch with Robert Harris, who had been commissioned almost 20 years before to write Le Carré's life. He told me that he no longer intended to write a full biography, and encouraged me to undertake the book myself. I wrote to David Cornwall with this suggestion. "There are huge hindrances," he replied. "My own messy private life, the demise of so many people I worked with or otherwise knew, and my habitual reluctance to discuss my very limited and unspectacular career in intelligence." We subsequently met at his house in Hampstead. By this time he had read my Trevor Roper, and had decided that I was an appropriate person to write his biography. He made it clear that he wished me to write without restraints, which indeed was the only basis on which I was willing to proceed. This seemed to me a wise decision, though of course this was easier for me to abide by than it was for him. I estimated that it would take me 4 years to write, as has proved to be the case. We came to an agreement by which David, as he quickly became to me, granted me access to his archives, a list of introductions to people he has known, friends and enemies, and long interviews. I was to have a free hand to write what I wanted, provided that I showed due respect to the sensitivities of living third parties. I also agreed that he should have the opportunity to read the typescript before anyone else saw it. This seemed to me the best possible arrangement to produce a biography in the lifetime of the subject. In the intervening years, I have conducted several long interviews with David, amounting to perhaps 50 hours in total. Far more time, so he tells me, than he has given to anyone previously. Most of these sessions have lasted all day. The usual pattern has been for me to arrive at his house in Hampstead around 11 in the morning, to talk for a couple of hours, and then head off for lunch, usually in his local pub. Afterwards we have gone back to his house, and continued into the early evening, with a fortifying drink in the late afternoon. I have enjoyed his company, and it may be that my account of his life has been influenced by feelings of liking, gratitude, and respect for his wife Jane and other members of his family, as well as for David. Though I acknowledge these warm feelings, I have endeavoured to preserve the splinter of ice in my heart that every writer needs, according to Graham Greene. Readers will have to judge whether the splinter has remained frozen. While I am aware that it has been a privilege to interview my subject in such depth, I am conscious too of the need to be wary of relying on his testimony. I remember in particular a conversation over lunch in which David described to me how he came to teach at Eton. I rather baldly informed him that his account did not correspond with the documents I had seen in the archives. I am quite sure that David had not told me this knowing it to be untrue. He was obviously disconcerted that his recall had played him false. All memory is fallible, and should be treated with caution by the biographer. In the spring of 2011, I made my first visit to Tregiffian, David's house in Cornwall. Jane showed me where David's papers were kept in a converted garage at right angles to the main house. The weather was gloriously mild, and I kept the door open to enjoy the warm sunshine. At one point, a shadow over my shoulder caused me to look up, and there was David in the doorway. "It's very strange to have you here, poking about in my mind," he said with a grin. It would be disingenuous to suggest that there have not been difficulties between us while I have been writing the book over the past 4 years. "I think our continuing relationship is an achievement in itself," David wrote to me in 2014. I can only imagine how hard it has been for him to have a comparative stranger explore every room of his life, from attic to basement, to expose his mistakes and quarrels, and to probe his sore spots.